welcome to the Red Card District. This is the new home of the Pintcast, where we'll be giving you your Premier League action and news hot and fresh every week. Welcoming everyone here to the podcast today. We're joined by Joseph. You can follow him on Twitter at I Hate Your Club, Alex at the underscore Beck underscore, and Gus at Gus Contreras 21. Thank you all, gentlemen, for joining me today. It's a pleasure to have you all here and a pleasure to be back with real football on the menu.
I'm just here to try to make my get back up to the number one spot.
Back to the number one. Well, you're never going to do that when you take off your camera again. This is not, you know, this is the new Joseph for the new season. You take off the camera, man. What's going on here?
Well, you know, sometimes.
Can't be camera shy.
I'm shy.
I just want the world to know that Joseph looks a lot sexier than what he does before. So I'm really sad that he's not showing himself.
Yeah, maybe next time. I'll wait. We'll see how he's built.
I would have just picked a celebrity to put a photo instead of like the Arsenal Nola group.
Seriously, man, I don't know what you're thinking. Well, I guess once you're done, you even sacrificed going to see the Arsenal and didn't even have a drink of beer or anything while you're there because you're so dedicated.
I had a sip or two.
You had a sip? Well, okay, a sip or two. You didn't even have one.
I had one beer. Shot. Yeah, I had one shot.
One shot?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I remember when I had my first beer.
Me too.
I had 20.
always the one-upper. Always.
There we go, yeah. The topper.
Yep. Well, so be it. Well, look, we are about a week late on our season preview podcast, but better late than never. We've got predictions for you. We've got all sorts of stuff to talk about. We've had an interesting transfer market so far across the Premier League and across Europe to, you know, in just about everywhere. But let's get to the Premier League and what we've seen so far. Coming out of the gates, we've seen Arsenal go ahead and get the 3 points, which is basically all that matters in the first match. Chelsea come out and make their statement to much a very vomit-inducing, and I don't know. Monday was a sad day for many people. People weren't ready to see Fabregas playing at Chelsea.
They scored one more goals than us. That's not a statement, okay? They just looked like they played better because they played better.
And they were playing Burnley. Yes, there's multiple reasons, but
yeah. I think it's the latter.
Yeah. It certainly has a lot to do with it. But let's get down to some of the action so far this summer in terms of what we've done in the transfer market. Let's go to you, Joseph. Tell me a little bit about how you feel. So you made a few of your opinions very clear today on Twitter as to how you feel the summer's gone so far. So why don't you lay it down for us?
Well, I think we all were excited by the beginning of the transfer window about getting early business done, a big signing that I certainly never expected. Sanchez
Alexis.
I didn't expect him to come, but so that was great. And then we add a keeper that to hopefully, you know, keeps Chesney on his toes because apparently he needs it as he almost got caught off guard yesterday. And then who else we buy? Chambers and Debussy. That's a pretty good start. It all happened pretty quickly. I mean, we had, four signings in about 3 weeks? That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it was pretty rapid fire.
Nothing. Not a fucking thing. Nothing. So, you know, it's been an okay summer, I think.
We still got about 10 days.
And to be honest, AW told us what was going to happen already. He said that there wasn't going to be anything that happens after the last signing until August 15th till the 30th. So he's kind of said what he's going to do already. So
which basically still shows that they're waiting to qualify. So
well, no. Hold on.
I don't think it's waiting to qualify. No.
Yep. We've already qualified, by the way.
No, we haven't.
Because the Besiktas are awful and we're going to beat them. And no one has to worry about a thing because we'll beat the Besiktas.
We will beat Besiktas.
We've qualified.
But we've not qualified.
We have.
Look, we made the additions that we needed in terms of the imminent replacements that needed to slot in the squad immediately have been made. The replacement for Senya at right back needed to be done immediately so that person can get in and get integrated. I think Debussy still has a lot of time and work before he gets on the same page with
everyone. Absolutely.
Squad.
But a good signing.
No, a good signing, an astute signing.
There we go.
Look, I can't say I think he's better than Senya, but I mean, apparently the France manager did, and he played ahead of him. he isn't as astute of a signing as I could imagine. I'm trying to think of any other right back in the league that I'd prefer, and there really aren't many. You know,
no, there really aren't.
No one really comes to mind. So DeBushi is a very good signing.
Chambers.
We have Chambers, who's been the surprise, and everyone is, you know, cooing over him because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, honestly, I can't remember many other times where I've seen defenders at that age come in and look so poised at that tender young age. I mean, what, Rafael Varane when he came into Real Madrid as a 19-year-old? You know what I mean? Like, there aren't many players that come in that, I mean, that's a lofty comparison, but what I'm saying is you don't see a lot of players that come with that kind of composure at that age. I mean, we had guys like Giroud and Senderos come in and look good at 19, 20, but still didn't quite look like the same kind of footballer as Chambers. So it's a very exciting prospect. I don't know. It's one of those interesting...
He's a prospect. I think he's filling in now, and hopefully, you know, Per comes back and some of the pressure, he doesn't feel any pressure because you want him to just learn, because
of course
we shouldn't really expect that signing to, you know, it's just a bonus if he plays well this year.
Of course.
Yeah, I think Chambers is an excellent signing, and he's very much like an upgrade on Phil Jones, you know. He has a better passing range than Phil Jones. He seems to be faster than Phil Jones, and he seems to be adaptable in the same areas as him as well. So I'm very, very happy with that signing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gus. I think it's great, too, because we get him at such a young age, and he's left to work with Steve Bould. I mean, there's been photos and videos of Chambers getting one-on-one work with Steve Bould, and that's only going to make him a better player. So, holy crap, he's been really, really solid so far.
And, you know, and he still, I mean, he nearly had the mistake that could have cost us the match on the last one. But, I mean, overall, he had a very solid performance. And you got to say,
we're going to get that, especially a guy that's kind of moved around through that back line hasn't had, you know, a position for sure yet, you know what I mean, being so young. We're going to have those little mistakes.
These appearances at Arsenal, I believe, are his first appearances professionally at center back. You know, he's only played at right back I guess he's played center back in his youth and stuff, as well as playing in the midfield and as well as at fullback. Okay. But all of his appearances for Southampton, I believe, were at right back. So it's pretty crazy, man. A guy doing this so early like that is pretty impressive. And like I didn't get too swept away by the hype, but you see certain things when you see a young player, and you see instincts, you see the way he reads the game, you see the way he can move, and some, you know, I think there was a move that we saw in, I think, the match over the weekend where he won a tackle, the ball kind of got away from him, he slid in, and you were kind of like, oh shit, he's sliding at full pace, but wins the ball, like pops up, a quick little shimmy, goes past his guy, and then releases the ball, and you're like, wow, that is like, that's the kind of thing you see Koscielny doing, and the things that we say about Koscielny that make us think that he's one of the best Premier League defenders. So
he's got both, too, if you think about it, with the sense of positioning that Mertesacker has. He's almost got
he seems to have that period, that timing, you know, where he can step up and see things.
Which is
that,
so important.
That hurt us, but Koscielny is just different. And so hopefully, you know, this will be a good, I mean, maybe he'll turn out to be really the third that helps spell the other two, you know.
The first time I saw him, I said, he's the next Tony Adams. And I'm going to stand by that, even if he fails. I don't care.
But you're saying he's going to become a drunk and...
Alcoholic drunk, one of the greatest defenders, and he's going to talk shit about Wenger even when he's dead. So that's what's going to happen.
Well, Chambers looks like he's got a good head on his shoulders. Hopefully he can keep his head down, and we'll see what he does from there. Because, I mean, honestly, all the signs are really promising, and it's funny because it's one of those things that, like, you don't really get that excited about defenders too often. You know, like... You know, when we talk about signings and all that,
especially the ones we usually buy.
Well, yeah, and you think of the sexy signings, though. You know, you think of, like, all right, Alexis is the sexiest signing we have, not just because of his wonderful fucking legs and all that stuff, you know, that everyone seems to coo over. But, you know, it's incisive. It's an attacking guy. It's a guy who offers a threat. But when you see a guy with this kind of talent come in, it's really like, you know, a kid with so much potential and looks like a really complete footballer. It's something that... it's not just reassuring, but I mean, it's inspiring in a way. So
look at what Man United bought for double the price on the other side of the field.
Oh, no, my United fans are like friends are a little mad about that. You know, Shaw's
little
not
mad,
fit.
Little mad.
He's not fit.
They just bought
he looks
two left
fat.
Backs
He's
in one
injured.
Transfer window. They bought the other, two left
who's
backs.
Who's the other left back?
Rojo.
Rojo's a right back. No, left
that
back.
Who's the left?
He's a left back for Argentina. What's wrong with you, Hockey?
That's right. He did play left back for Argentina. He plays right side too, though, isn't he? He's left.
No, that's
right
Zabaleta for Argentina.
I know that, but he doesn't play right. He doesn't play right back at all either. No.
Nah, not that I've seen.
Hey, if Clichy can play right back, anybody, any left back can play right back.
Clichy's left foot is so shit. How are you going to put him on his fucking right?
Yeah. I actually saw him make a decent cross with his right foot the other day.
Get the fuck out.
I know.
If we'd only know he was playing on the right, on the wrong side all those years.
Oh my God. I'm a secret agent.
I bet you'll still leave that back post wide fucking open, though.
Rojo does win for, like, some of the shittest tattoos, though. I mean, he's got...
He's in front of his knees all the way.
Yeah. No, I was reading some analysis about him, people saying that he's totally not ready for Manchester United, and that, like...
But we spoke about this in the World Cup. We were talking about how Rojo was one of the weak links, you know, because he was... He was very rash. He wasn't very experienced.
He is rash, and a lot of the previews about him are saying, you know, well, expect a bunch of red cards. This guy is, you know, he's a good athlete. He's a talented footballer, but he doesn't really have it upstairs. You know, he doesn't really have it all together. He's not very mature, and he does a lot of rash challenges. So hopefully, he'll see red a few times for United.
Do you guys want to talk shit about Manchester United now or later? Because we can put it.
Well, we're gonna get there. We'll get to our predictions. I'm not too worried. We got a lot of time for this. So, but okay. let's continue on with the Arsenal business as of now. So we've made those signings. We signed Ospina. So what I'm saying in that sense is that we locked down the essential targets that needed to be in to get integrated.
Yes.
What we're still looking for, obviously, is depth at midfielder, depth at center back. I mean, many of us wish that we'd sign another center forward, which, I mean, I can't disagree with. But in essence, what was that?
Well, I think all of the main signings, I think they're very close. The center back and the CDM, the holder, I think they're going to be very close and that they're coming very soon. Just T's and C's and...
Just hunch? I mean...
I think one is...
Yeah, it's a hunch. It's a hunch. I think a center back's coming right now. Like,
I think the center back is likely to be tied up. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think we'll get another midfielder, but I'm just not super confident. I have no confidence in the striker coming in, so...
Nope.
I don't think a striker will come in unless it's going to be a good price and... like an Ozil situation last year. That's the only way I see... A striker.
Well, right.
I swear, it's
opportunism at the end of the window.
It's so annoying seeing people on Twitter keep thinking that we're going to get a striker. And we're not. There's no way that we're going to sign a striker. No way on earth.
Of course there's a fucking way. Of course there's a way.
Money.
But do I expect it?
It's not a possibility.
It's certainly a possibility.
I don't think so.
Why isn't it a possibility? If center forward was a position we were looking to address all last summer, and supposedly one of the prisoners trying to this summer. Yeah, it's been fucking years. Like, of course it's a possibility. Is it likely? I would bet a lot of valuable things.
Like on my end, that we wouldn't sign.
A lot of valuable things.
Yeah. I'd bet against it, but if you give me some good odds, I'd take a punt for something, a little bit of money, you know? Give me 10-1 or something crazy. I don't fucking know.
I think that ship sailed a long time ago with Remy not coming.
Fuck a Remy.
I just think he's holding out for something better, and so I think that's...
If there's a late signing, I think that's it.
If there's a really, really late signing, I think that's it. And I don't know what kind of quality is, but... I don't know. It doesn't look promising up front.
Here's something I want to address, because people want, you know, what we really want is a player of a certain caliber. A caliber, if we're going to start, you know, putting people on pedestals in different levels, you know, you have like the 20 million pound striker, you've got the 25, 30 million pound striker, then you have the people up above in that really elite category. People want that elite type of center forward. Well, who the fuck is there in that category? Not many players.
Nobody.
And which ones of them are available? It's like, not many, right? The idea was, I mean, people could have thought, like, well, if Real Madrid signed another center forward, that Benzema could become available. But he just signed a contract extension.
Also, Wenger's already talked about not having Giroud and Benzema in the same squad together because they're both fighting for the same place in France, and that would cause like a little rife between the two. I just don't ever see that happening.
But I'm just giving it as an example.
I get that's
a possibility. I know, and then people talk, well, then there's Cavani, then there's Falcao. Well, yeah, those sound fucking fantastic to me. I've been tooting that horn for years. These fucking podcasts are evidence of saying those are the kind of guys I think we need to sign. But are we going to spend more than $50 million on a striker? Are we going to pay them over $200K a week?
Joaquin, the way I see it is, there's two type of strikers we could buy. we could buy one that will displace Giroud for the most of the season, to the point where Giroud will get appearances where the striker will rest. So those strikers would be Falcao and Cavani, for example.
Yes.
And that's like a 40-50 million range, okay?
Sure.
And that kind of striker, like Falcao and Cavani, the stuff that Giroud does, they can do that, and they can do the other stuff too, you know? So
they can beat defenders, they can create things on their own.
Yeah,
added dimension.
And they have the strength too, okay? Maybe not as strong, but it doesn't matter when you can create and score like that. So then there's the other striker, which is in like the 15 to 25 million range, okay? They'll probably share with Giroud the duty throughout the whole year, okay? They'll compete with each other properly for the same thing. And that striker might be like Balotelli, for example, and he might grow to be far, far better than he is, or become more consistent at what he is, okay? So
I think those are the two in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I know, but that's what we're looking at, I think. I think that's we're looking for something that's different than Giroud, or something that's far better, you know. We have to break the bank for that, I think.
Well, the thing is that like it's not. I don't know how realistic it is to think that even if they're available, that a Cavani or Falcao would happen. Because look, they've already made their moves to the big oil clubs, and so you mean like. What the fuck are their wages on now? They're both on over 200k a week, right?
It's ridiculous. Yeah, right? Exactly.
They signed for PSG and fucking Monaco, the two biggest oil clubs outside of Manchester City. They're not going to take pay cuts. They're in their mid 20s. Like they're only going to leave for the same money or better.
Paul Kyle is late 20s. So
is he late 20s? Was he 27?
He's 28 now, isn't he?
Is he 28?
Yeah, I think he's up there.
Okay, well, so anyway, so he's trying to get his biggest contract right now because he's on Monaco. Yeah. He's trying to leave. He wants.
And if anywhere, he'll get from Chelsea. He's 28. He'll be 29.
Well, so he wants to go to Chelsea, Real Madrid, wherever the fuck they're going to pay him 300k, 250k a week, whatever the fuck it is they're going to put him on. Are we going to pay
very
him?
Very unrealistic.
I mean, that's the big thing. Even if he's available, the transfer fee is going to be £60 million if we're lucky. You know, I mean, like if Falcao goes to Real Madrid, how much are they going to pay? £80 million. 90 yeah, million pounds?
70, 60.
Yeah, you're right. That's going to be the last big contract of his career, especially coming off an ACL injury, yeah. Too.
We're seeing what everyone else is being bought for. We're seeing what James Rodriguez is going for. So we can't really expect to be on that level yet. And the only way I can see us signing someone like Cavani or something is if we offer them like a $2 million house, £1 million house in London for free and an upfront fee, like secretly, like Chelsea do. That's the only way I can see us doing that because his wages are way too high for him. Is it likely that we're not his childhood club? He's no Seth. No, he's not gonna take a cut to join.
And look, these guys that come from like rough neighborhoods, from tough places growing up, from Uruguay, from Argentina, those are the African players. You know, they don't take pay cuts. You know. No. This fucking career is a short career, and they're here to make the fucking money. It's the reason why Eto'o went to fucking Anji to make 400k a week or whatever the fuck it was that he was on when he was the highest paid player in the world. You know what I mean? Like you know, and some of them do great things with these causes, but they're here to make their fucking money, and they're not gonna take a. It's not like you're gonna see with some other players who take a discount. Like you know, there's some European players like, oh, well, I'll do this to go here or do something like that. It's just not gonna happen.
Ozil.
Ozil could have made more money elsewhere. He certainly could have. You know, I mean,
Arsene Wenger to thank for
that. How do they prioritize? I mean, yeah, you need someone who wants to come in to work with Arsene, who believes in the team and does all this. But we're not going to get any discount with those guys.
No.
So, I mean, look, if there's any way we can get it done, like I support breaking the bank to bring in Cavani and to pay him whatever wage, even if you need to get him only on 200k and you got to pay him $5 million up front. I say fucking do it.
But you know what it's like with the structure we have, whereas you don't want to upset the team ethos and all this stuff because it just looks like our team is just so, like, the spirit and everything. It's all fantastic.
But you ask the fucking team. Do you want Cavani to come in so you have someone not Giroud to win you the fucking league? Like, and he's going to get paid more than all of you. So
I'm hating on people that think that it's going to happen. But hell, I would love it if that happened. If we got one of those players in, I would love it.
I'd go batshit crazy.
Nah.
Yeah, but I think what's more realistic for us is still going to be someone like Balotelli or someone in that league. You know.
Please look, I'm fine with that. Like I'd be happy with Mario. I like the Mario's that kind of crazy that I like. He's unpredictable crazy, but like I want it.
He scored 20-something goals in his first season. Hell yeah.
Dude,
no,
yeah.
It didn't happen overnight. You can't you can't come in your first year and score 20 goals.
You guys know what I'm like. I don't care how good he is or whatever. If Arsene Wenger decides that he wants to take him, I know that he can do something with him, you know? So I'll be happy with that. I'll be more than happy with that.
Right. Well, the window is not closed yet. We have approximately 10 days or so.
I mean, for us, 10 days is a lot of days because we're used to signing everyone.
We've done a lot of it. Look, we've done, like I said, we've made the essential buys in terms of replacing and getting the only one we need right now in terms of making up the numbers is one more center back, and that's the one I would expect to get done before deadline day. I expect it done in the next week. Maybe call me crazy or hopeful. But yeah, I hope if it's the Greek defender, what is his name, Manolas. I mean, he looks tidy from what I've seen, but I mean, really, how much have any of us seen really of Olympiacos? But he's rated highly, young defender, guy who can come in, and now with these, we're seeing how Chambers looks like he can deputize. All right, you bring in a true center back, and now you have two other options. Like, I feel pretty good about that.
I bet Campbell's the one that's trying to promote him into Arsene's ear.
or they're trying to get Campbell swapped. Maybe trying to get swapped. We don't know.
I mean, we'll see. I'd like to see Campbell get a few more minutes, but I mean, we'll see how
a few more. How about a few periods?
So how about some? Yeah.
Yeah. True. I mean, honestly, I wanted to see him in that Champions League match. I wanted to see him for at least 10, 15 minutes, but
it would have been nice to fucking yank Santi off the pitch.
Oh God, he's right now.
Yeah.
But okay, but let's talk about Campbell. Like, how do you guys see him? I think
I see him
we
as
hate him, and I think
sold.
He's great. Really?
He's just sticking with his hardline stance because he said he's going to be sold the whole time. So he's waiting for his "I told you so" moment. He gets sold on deadline day.
Well, I mean, it'd be different if he'd been getting minutes, but he didn't play. What did he get? A minute and a half in the Charity Shield? Did he get 3 minutes? And then for the last two matches, his pace was badly needed at some point.
I think you maybe give him some minutes this weekend. I mean, we'll get to preview in the weekend because I think we need to make some changes. It's going to be interesting what we do with the lineup come weekend time because we've got a lot of important shit to go down. But let's finish this transfer talk and all this bullshit. Yeah. We have a little bit more time. I think the defender is going to come in, and anything else is going to be coming down to the wire, really, if we get the deal done, whether it's a Carvalho or a Kadira. Look, on the record, I'm going to go right down the line. Let's go. Alex, would you want Kadira, yes or no?
As opposed to who?
As opposed to no one. As opposed to no one?
Yes or no? Would you like
him? Do you want Kadira at Arsenal to play defensive midfielder for us?
Look, everyone keeps telling me that Kadira rushes forward. He has all these things that isn't part of being a defensive midfielder. He's not a good holder. But if there was some way that Arsenal to convert him, then I would say yes. Obviously.
I've seen him play quite adequately at defensive midfield for Real Madrid, and that's good enough for me.
And if that's the case, then I would be more than happy to have him because he offers more than one position.
Okay, Gus?
Sign him up all day.
And Joseph?
No question. Take him.
Absolutely.
You've already fucked up.
Do you know what I think is going to happen? I think he's going to ask for too many wages, and we're going to get Song back for free.
Shut the fuck up. Song went out that door, and he, you know, like, don't let it hit you in the fucking back.
We're gonna throw 19 cousins, and we're gonna feed them. We're gonna make them all great.
Bollocks.
Bold will walk out if that shit happened.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen. I'm of the mind that Kadira immediately makes our midfield so much better. Look, even if he's not your traditional the pure CDM, we don't play pure CDMs. You know what I mean?
Who cares about that anymore?
If he can drop deep and
everybody
make a
fucking
pass.
Cares, and they'll wank over like, oh, need to be a fucking pure.
No. I hate this idea, this myth that people have in their heads. Okay, Flamini is a pure DM. No one gives a shit about Flamini. Okay, the DMs that we want, the strong big DMs that people want. They don't play just as DMs, you know?
No, they can do a lot. I mean, you want some guy who's really technically adept. I mean, look, Javi Martinez would have been great. Now he's injured for a while, and that's definitely not going to happen. But, he's a guy who can do all sorts of shit. Kadira is a very complete midfielder, and what we need are complete midfielders, but someone who we can at least get to tactically decide to sit back a little more or do something like that. I think Kadira would be an outstanding signing, you know? And if it comes down to where, look, he knows that like we could just be playing chicken with him. It could all be posturing, and very much so, because we walked away from the table and he asked for too much money, according to everybody's fucking reports, according to all the fucking Twitter.
But we've also got the William Carvalho situation.
Yeah, but I mean, look, the idea of William Carvalho is great, but
no, I know, I'm just being sarcastic.
But it's just, is he really the answer? I mean, I hope he would be if we signed him, but I really don't know. Like, I don't know enough about him to really say. And like,
he's a really good player, but I'm not going to pretend that I've watched every game he's played.
So. I mean, what's wrong with playing two box-to-box midfielders like Ramsey and Khedira? I'm taking up a lot of space.
Well, but that's what I mean. People aren't accustomed to the changes that managers make, you know. And people don't like it when someone messes with whatever idea they have of what a concept of a formation should look like. So we've seen a time and how many formations has Arsene changed? And every time he changes them in the beginning, people are very, very conspicuous and be like, oh, I don't like this and whatever. And then you see how it works and you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, that happens with a lot of managers. If we have someone that's holding, even though he's technically not a traditional holder, and they're both very, very like adept at what they do, then it could work. We saw what happened to Arteta. You know, Arteta started out on the wing, he went left. I mean, okay, at Barcelona he had games as a holder, but like that's ages ago. People can be converted, people can be adapted to do the right job for a team. And if that can happen, if Arsene think that can happen with Khedira, then go for it.
I'll bring up one more thing about Khedira too. The dude knows how to win, and that's, we can use every single ounce of people that know how to win and get through big and tough decisions.
And it's not like he'd have trouble adapting the squad, you know. He's got all his German
his best
mates here.
His
all,
best,
right,
best
exactly. So yeah. So it makes all sorts of sense. It wouldn't surprise me if that deal goes through, but I guess we're gonna have to wait and see what happens come deadline day, because Khedira is moving. He will not stay at Real Madrid. He's got to go somewhere. No one else has really come up. I mean, what are they talking about today? That Bayern Munich might do it? I mean, I thought I saw something about that, which...
I mean, they would just buy him just to have him.
They would, because they can, and they have the money. Fuck it, yeah. Why not?
Yeah, but they've spoken about it. I read a whole thing about that Bayern are interested in buying another adaptable midfielder, you know, because of the injury.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see if that happens, but, you know...
Because it looks like they're going to play Lahm and Schweinsteiger there now.
Right, and that's what they'll probably do. But we'll see what happens with Khedira, because he will be moving. He'll be on the move somewhere the next week or so, and we'll see what happens, because only time will tell with that one. And I think it is a matter of playing chicken and waiting. And if it comes down to all of a sudden there's a couple days left in the window and he's still at Madrid, and no one
if
else has come
to
up.
Chelsea, if he goes to Chelsea, I'm
I don't think Madrid wanted to give Jose any gifts.
Yeah, I don't think so, and they really don't have a need for it. Fucking, their midfield's so stacked already. Matic has got that role locked down. You don't need Khedira.
Yeah.
And we get to another Chelsea signing. Look, let's talk about the business around the Premier League. Obviously, Manchester, really interesting situation in Manchester. Let's get to the shit talking Manchester United now, because that's...
So we're going to start the United.
They've been rejected by every good player in the world.
Okay. Well, because apparently a few years ago, when they had Ferguson and all that, all United had to do was say they're interested in somebody, and they were always interested back, just because they were the most successful club and all that.
Right, he's one of the best managers that ever managed.
Right, of course. But those tactics worked horribly for United and Moyes last season, and they're not working this season either. And it's kind of weird, because they really had a bump, right? They had a bump during the World Cup when it was announced that Louis van Gaal was going to be the manager, right? Or it was just before the tournament. And that brought this like good tide and this good feeling for all their fucking shitty fucking...
Yeah, I mean, I honestly thought it would at least allow them to do some business.
And please don't win the fucking World Cup, the Dutch, because you're a pack of cunts and Van Gaal is your manager. And he is the epitome of a prick. I mean, he just looks like a penis with hair on his head. I don't fucking know. He's
got a funny shape.
He does.
And thank hell that we didn't sell them Vermaelen.
Oh no, I'm very happy with that business.
Did you read the piece that Marcotti wrote about how we dealt with Vermaelen with them? We basically made them wait and think that they were going to get him the whole time.
Good.
And we got Barcelona to get him. Do you know how fucking great that makes me feel after Van Persie? We're not talking about this. Everyone should be talking about how we fucked them over, but no one's talking about it. We totally fucked them over.
Well, yeah. You lead them along, and you try to send them.
Vermaelen was thinking of getting a house there. Everything. He was already ready to move to Manchester.
Of course, yeah. He was. His deal. You know, his fucking. He was having daily conversations with Van Persie about how they're gonna get their shit together and how they're gonna be fucking neighbors and bullshit.
Yeah, and I don't think we've laughed enough. We haven't enjoyed that moment properly.
How awesome would it have been if Arsene sent Woodward at United? Put a dead horse in his bed, like the Godfather, and then we sell Vermaelen to Barca.
Yeah, look, for the one time ever in our history, we're happy to have sold a player to Barcelona.
Yeah,
and look, well,
I was happy with Son.
Well, I guess you were happy with Son. Look,
some were happy with.
I wasn't happy because we didn't adequately replace in the position, but you know, you do what you got to do. I don't know, man. Like. Look, Vermaelen, look, I've always been a fan of Vermaelen. That's no secret to anybody. I'm happy the way he handled himself very professionally. He was very respectful on his way out. He never said anything. Yeah. And I wish him all the luck at Barcelona. I hope they do well. I hope they, you know, I don't know.
Come third.
I hope they come in third place in La Liga. I hope they beat all the teams I hate in the Champions League until they face someone I like.
I'm very happy that their ban has been reinstated properly.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, fuck yeah. So now they're stuck with all these players.
Two windows, which means that...
And if the bitey racist bites anyone else, they're stuck with them for even longer. So,
yeah.
That's all gravy. I'm good with those decisions. Yeah. But so United have now completed the signing of Marcus Rojo, which is uninspiring across the board. I've been reading articles the past couple days, slating them for having so much trouble just to complete this fucking signing. They've signed Andrew Herrera, Luke Shaw.
It took them a year and a half to be done.
Yeah. Both of those deals could have been done a lot earlier. But yeah, and then Luke Shaw doesn't look like a very great signing. And then they signed Rojo, another fullback on the same side, as you guys have said. And
yeah, but look at the money. Look at the money. £50 million almost for left backs, two left backs. That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Why am I the one to fix that?
No. It's ridiculous. But it couldn't happen to a better club. It couldn't happen to a better club.
Yeah, I mean, even their fans, even their biggest and most patient of fans are starting to lose the plot, which is a bit enjoyable to see. You know, even some.
Well, yeah, because they're 11 days away from what big. I mean. Like, there's going to be a fight for maybe the one last big signing at the end of the window.
Well, and they've just lost all that sway and all that power because momentum is underrated in some of these situations because it really does mean so much, right? The feel-good factor, right? You need to capitalize on that. That's one of those things why, like, last summer, like, I was mad. We had such that feel-good factor in the beginning of the summer, and it was like, you sign Higuain, and everyone's on top of it. Everyone's Arsenal's a title contender. And then we fucked around and waited, and it almost bit us in the ass. We got lucky we pulled off the Ozil thing in the last second. Otherwise, it would have been a fucking disaster. Yeah. So this summer's been handled a lot better by getting those big signings done kind of quicker. But look at United, right? They're riding this wave. Louis van Gaal, you know, he got the Dutch to third in the World Cup. Everything's looking good. They're winning all these matches in preseason. Well, look, if they had locked down a signing right then, the feel-good thing would have been great. But they waited. They waited, and they couldn't get a fucking deal done. Woodward is sitting there with his thumb up his ass, and now they've lost the first match of the season, the first time they've lost the opening match in forever, and all of a sudden now shit has hit the fan. The standing of, like, Manchester United don't have Champions League. Sure, they got plenty of fucking money. Great. But they don't have Champions League, so all the big names that they've been chasing, because basically they've just been saying, hey, we want Arturo Vidal. Good for you, but
yeah.
Like, I mean, other than the money, which we know for some players, like when City first got their money, some players are willing to go for the money, but then you're going to get Emmanuel Adebayor, you're going to get Roque Santa Cruz. These are the kind of guys they got to shop for now because these top players are not going to sit a season out without Champions League.
Yeah,
so
start over.
I mean, really, they should have adjusted some of their targets. Like, yeah, apparently Marco Reus and Cruz and fucking Schwab, whoever all these players are,
That's just the thing. They're already overpaying for people who I don't consider what people would consider Manchester United class. Okay.
Well, that's what they would all. That's what they were always going to have to do this summer. They were always going to have to overpay.
But now they have to overpay even more for people who are that quality. You know.
And look, they just paid $30 million for Mata last transfer window, and 40, look what he's
40,
done.
40,
40, 40, 40 whatever.
42 million for Mata. You know.
Yeah. And look what he's doing.
And it's $28 million for Fellaini. It's a lot of money. We're talking about crazy amounts. That
I mean, I still rate Mata. I mean, I'm not going to try to go and say that Mata is shit.
We can rate him, but the team doesn't look like it's being fixed. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't look like it's being made much better than it is.
I really rate Herrera, who they have in the midfield now. I mean, I guess he didn't have a great match.
I don't doubt that he's a good player, but there's a level above him that exists.
Well, they're still missing their heartbeat. They need a new box-to-box midfielder.
I thought Kagawa was going to do well there, too. But look what's happened.
I thought so, too.
I'm sure
Van Persie is injured. Van Persie is fucking injured. That's the best thing.
That's always great. That's always good news.
I love that.
So they're kind of a calamity right now, and now they're scuppering around and trying to sign someone. You know, it'll be really great if their new signing gets pulled out from underneath their nose right before the end. It'd be nice if we took the target, whoever it might be.
But the thing is, that's what they need, an Ozil signing, and they can't get one.
Well, and they don't have one. We wouldn't have gotten Ozil if we didn't have Champions League. So
right, but if they can get an Ozil signing without Champions League, It might help them. They need center backs the most, right?
There's no fucking Ozil on the market. Fabregas is already gone. That's who they really wanted, and that never fucking happened.
But they want defenders more than anything now.
Yeah, they need a center back. They're not going to get fucking Hummels.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't get Vermaelen. It's just one of those things. So we'll see where they go, and hopefully they
get Vertonghen now.
Go for it.
Let him get Ron Vlaar.
Yeah. Or Michael Dawson.
Hey, Dawson's still got 4 years on that contract, so.
I know.
One of my buddies.
Let's go to the rest of the big contenders around.
Let's talk about the saddest player in the world right now. His name is Francesc Soler Fabregas.
No.
He was once a part of Arsenal.
It's the Moreno kid that can't stop crying.
Sad. Did you see his interview after the game?
What game? Monday?
After the Burnley game, when they asked him how he felt about being there, and he looked so sad, he was like, "I just came here to play football."
He's not going to be that fucking sad when he wins the fucking title this year with Chelsea. So,
he's not going to win the title with Chelsea this year because Chelsea are fucking idiots, and they'll fuck
they're
it
idiots?
Up at some point.
I don't know. Let's talk about Chelsea's business. I think, and I think some people might agree with me, that Chelsea have done the best business in the Premier League this summer.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, for sure. But look how Mourinho ruined them last season. They look like they were going to win it too.
Yeah, but I don't think selling Lukaku
and getting Drogba is good business. I think selling Luis for $50 million is good business, but it's fucking corrupt as fuck. Okay, I think keeping Hazard and treating him like shit is stupid. He's going to do it this year, I hope, as well.
Yeah,
Diego Costa is an excellent signing for them. Okay,
yeah,
because he's dirty, he wins, and he can score goals, long range and short range. Okay,
he makes them a lot.
We're
going to
see more of them. Yeah, he makes them stronger.
And now they bought arguably the best playmaker into the league.
No.
Yeah, Fabregas is pretty good.
Arguably, look, you got to put him and Ozil in the same fucking category. They're in the same bracket. Okay.
And I would put Fabregas higher because he's done it in the Premier League before too.
No, I don't do that.
Well, whatever. They're in the same bracket. You can't put a separation. These are the two players that have created the most assists in Europe over the past 5 years.
If you play for Chelsea, you're in a different bracket than Arsenal players, honey.
Yes, of course. They play for a different team, but we gotta recognize.
Talking on talent, we're not talking your feelings.
I don't recognize people who are molding, becoming ugly, and who cheat on their girlfriends and marry some old lady.
Well, I guess I can log off.
Yeah, no shit. Look, man, he wanted to come back to us. I don't begrudge him.
I don't begrudge him.
No, it happens.
I'm not angry. No, it happens. This is normal.
And it's going to bite us in the ass.
I don't think it will. And I think if it does, then stuff like that, that's his. It's just the way it is.
I mean, it is the way it is. And Arsen fucking, made his bed, and now he's got to sleep in it, and we'll see how it all pans out.
It's not Arsen who made his bed, Joaquin. It's Cesc who made his
fucking
bed.
Cesc
who made his bed. Cesc left in the worst way possible. Arsen fucking hates
him. He did not leave in the worst way possible. He didn't go to Manchester United.
No, he left Arsenal in the worst way possible. Okay. Wenger's not going to be happy about that. He's going to get revenge on
him. So this was a personal thing when this all happened right now. Look. I think it's going to bite us in the ass because I think he's one of the best players in the Premier League and has come back and will be one of the best players in the Premier League again. I would have rather had him, especially considering the fact that if he didn't go to us, he goes to fucking Chelsea and now makes them title favorites. Cesc Fabregas makes Chelsea title favorites this fucking season. Yes. Diego Costa by himself does not make them favorites. Diego Costa and Cesc Fabregas makes them title favorites.
Possibly. Yes.
Okay. No, they are.
More than possibly. They
are. Right. And you just don't want to say it just because...
They might not win, but sitting here today, I call them favorites based on their squad and based on those two additions.
You have to. They've had such a strong team. They're missing the cut and thrust. They're missing the finishing product and some of the final ball, and they've got all of that now. Okay. So Chelsea's sitting pretty, man. I mean, I don't know. Look.
I'm still going to hope that Cesc goes missing in games, that he gets pulled his hamstring.
Sure, you know, I'm going
to
hope
that. I want all that stuff to happen too, but I can't foreshadow. I mean,
yeah, I can, we can't foreshadow. I can only assess what I see on paper and what I see in front of me, and what I see right now is the strongest fucking squad in the league. The two strongest squads are City and Chelsea. You know, it's really hard to defend a title. City have done some decent business, but they haven't really changed much, and it really doesn't look like they have that. I don't know.
And Agüero is the biggest concern for me.
Right. Is he going to be fit?
In my opinion, you know,
fit quite a while. So
yeah, he's a difference maker for sure. He's the X factor for them.
He's so much quality up front and deadly.
But before the injuries last season, the three best players in the Premier League were Suarez, Agüero, and Ramsey.
Yeah. Okay?
I think around Christmas time, those are the three best players, or those are the three people you can make cases for being the best player in the league. And then injuries hit two of them, and one stayed. But, you know, I think a lot of that quality still, you know, those will make the difference, really, for all those teams as to who will really, you know, pan out handling it in the end. So
yeah, but you guys, we know what Mourinho's tactics are like, and whether they'll suit the team that he has is a different story. You know, on paper, Chelsea have always looked like title favorites, but they don't win the league every year. And there's a reason.
Do you think Fabregas is going to listen to Mourinho on how to attack?
Chelsea did not look like title favorites any of the past couple seasons.
They've been
in the race, but they have not looked like title favorites.
Before every season.
Torres was leading their fucking line. He couldn't score any fucking goals. They have not had a proper
goal. Right, but when they signed them, everyone was saying how they were title favorites. No one ever thinks about how players can fluff.
No. It is not. Look, this is the season, more so than anyone in the past few years, where Chelsea have been favorites. Look, everyone said that Chelsea's going to be in a title race because of how much fucking money they spent, all that, but no one has looked at them like, hey, look, this season, half the pundits are picking, at least half, if not two-thirds of the pundits are all picking Chelsea to win the league.
Oh, and they got Courtois back, too.
What was that?
And they got Courtois back, too.
Yeah, they just added the best young goalkeeper in the game, right? One of the best central midfielders in the game, and one of the most prolific center forwards over the past couple seasons. They've done all that to an already exceptional squad. You know?
Don't forget fucking Felipe fucking Luiz.
Felipe fucking Luiz. Look, I know, we didn't even mention him, and I think he's a quite solid fucking player. You know? Like, they look really fucking solid, and
I'm not prepared to admit that yet, because it's going to take me some time.
Look, I hope they all crash and burn. I hope the fucking stadium collapses and that it kills them all. Like, I fucking can't stand them.
Well, it's like City also. They signed Fernando, and that's exactly what we need.
Yeah, well, tell them to give us Fernandinho then.
Yeah, I'll take him. He's badass.
So they signed Fernando and they paid 12.5 fucking million pounds to his agent. We're not going to do that shit.
Of course we're not. But I mean, that's just what we have to deal with. That's the reality situation. So anyways, Chelsea look really fucking strong. City look really fucking strong. They made decent business. Just once again, it is hard to defend and repeat as champions. We'll see where it goes, you know. But it really looks like, I mean, any way you throw it down, Arsenal are going to have to, for Arsenal to win the league this season, which I still think is a very distinct possibility, because I'm not throwing away all the work we did last season. I don't think Giroud is shit as well as the way many other people do. And like, look, Giroud showed in the World Cup he's a good player. He showed last season he's a very good player. Like,
he's amazing.
Can he score in bigger games? I think he can do a lot better, but I think he can do the job himself. Do we need more depth in the position?
He's not fit yet.
No, he's not. It's very clear he's not. So all that considered, look, if we can do the same thing we did last season, come out the gate strong, top of the league at the fucking new year, anything can happen. You know? I think it really, obviously the injuries hurt us last season, and not signing a fucking striker in January doomed us. So
it's a no-go.
you know what I mean? So, like, it's tough to say, but really, look, we're up there in the conversation. I think the top three is going to be some sort of mix of, I know this is really fucking bullshit.
No, right? I think we're favorites for top three. I think we're favorites.
I think so. It's gonna be Chelsea, City, and Arsenal in the top three. I think that's what most people think. And then we'll have a battle for fourth with United, Liverpool,
and because we'll leave them behind and laugh.
Well, let's save that for the end. Let's give our predictions at the end.
Okay.
Right, we are going to give our predictions at the end. But I'm just saying that, like, you know, this is we're in that group. We're in the title chasing pack.
Oh, yeah.
The place that the position that Chelsea have been in many of these years, even if they weren't the favorites for the title, it was like, well, Chelsea are definitely in the mix, so they're in this group and they're going to finish in the top three.
And what do we say that we want every year? We want to compete. We want to be up there. We want to be in the mix. Who cares if we end up winning it? But it all that matters is that if we're in the race.
I mean, it matters to actually win the race. But yes, I'm with you. I'm with you. You want to be in the conversation. You want to be there. It's a little shame that we kind of fell out of it when we did this past season because we were there.
Yeah.
Top of the league.
It's fun. It's majority. Fun.
Oh, it's so much more fun. It's so much more fun. And it's been fantastic, but you know, and I think we're going to contend, and we got to stay with it. And this is going to be a really tough match this weekend, but we'll get there. Well, let's get to it now. We've been out to talk about the transfers in the Premier League. Anyone have any thoughts on Liverpool?
Shit.
I'm wondering why they pulled out of the Remy deal because you just assumed that they were on the track of something bigger. You know what I mean? Kind of what we did with Higuain. It's the
I suppose.
Well, otherwise, that heart thing is not the real reason.
Well, they have Champions League this year, but no one believes it's going to be sustained. That's
It shows by their signings.
Of course,
they've made some good signings, but I'm sure it's not exactly what they were hoping for.
Then you can't sign one of the best young strikers at the World Cup that played almost every game with Origi and then loan him back to the team that he was at.
Yeah, that's a little questionable. It's interesting to see because people are not, like, I don't think many people outside of the Scousers themselves are picking Liverpool to finish in the top four. The one thing they do have going for them is that it seems like Brendan Rodgers has been doing a pretty decent job with them and has kind of like rallied a good team spirit. They've been building a squad that outside of Suarez's departure has been playing together, so they will play together pretty decently. And I think if United continue to start really poorly, it might become a really neck to neck race. I think
Liverpool still make top four.
You think United are still out, huh?
Interesting.
Yeah. Let's get to our previews then. Since that's enough talk about Liverpool. I want your top four. Let's start with you, Joseph. Give me one through four.
And Chelsea, five for City, Arsenal, Liverpool.
Ooh, fifth place.
Everton. United for fifth and Everton for sixth.
Okay, Gus?
I have Arsenal or Chelsea. Going with Chelsea.
No.
I'll go with Chelsea, Arsenal, City, Everton.
Bold choice.
United Alex. Fifth.
Mine is very obvious. Arsenal win the league with ease, you know, and second is Chelsea, Man City are third. They're going to be complacent. And then in fourth place, we have Everton.
There we go.
Okay.
And then fifth place, we have a despicable Manchester United. And then sixth place is Liverpool.
Fair enough. That is a bold prediction, sir. I'm going to go with Chelsea, Arsenal, City, Manchester United for my top four.
I can just see United getting there with a kick right up their butt to like how we used to, kind of, to just get into fourth place.
I mean, I think they'll be straight in their bats. They'll have to put a run together at the end of the season to do it, but then get a series of results. I'm with you there. By hook or by crook, they'll make it in. I think they will. I'd actually rather have those miserable cunts at Liverpool in just because of, you know, United have not suffered enough. One season of suffering is not enough for them.
Nowhere near. But for them, it's the worst thing ever.
Oh yeah,
would be great. A second season,
even if they finish fourth, it's suffering for them.
You know? Oh yeah,
so icing on the cake. That would be icing on the cake for them to miss out on top four.
I have a question for you guys. If you had to keep one player out of our team, knowing that another player would come in afterwards, who would you keep between Podolski or Joel Campbell? Knowing that if one of them leaves, we would sign another striker, or a left winger.
I think it depends on who you sign. I mean, if you're telling me you have to omit one from the squad, if you tell me you have to omit one from the squad right now, I suppose I'd say Campbell because we know we're going to Podolski a bit more, but I'm happy with either one, to be honest. Like, I like them both. I think they both offer us something. And
it's not about who dislike. Basically, it's or think is worse because they both offer something very different.
Right.
I'd take Campbell over Podolsky because he tracks back on defense. He's physical, shows a lot. He has pace, and he'll take people on.
I take Podolsky because he'll score. He'll give us 10 or 12 every year. So.
Yeah, I think as much as I like Campbell, I'll be a little more pragmatic, and I'll go with Pooley. How about you, Alex?
Right. I don't know. I really don't know.
No wonder you asked the question. No, which one to go with? Fair enough.
I think Podolsky will be sold. That's why.
Yeah, I think that could be. I mean, I think it just depends on if there's more business. I think Podolsky stays, and he posts so much. Like you feel good about the guy. He posts so much like positive Arsenal stuff online. Yeah. And you want him to be there. The feel good factor in the Germans. I want him to be here for one more season until we sign Marco Reus. But you know, that's just more pipe dreams.
Yeah, that's your lover though. So.
Hey, easy. And if you see with that fucking haircut, then you can.
It should be that we sold both of them.
I get only if we sign somebody.
We could sell both of them for 20 million euros and.
But honestly, I don't see us signing that other winger this season. Like next season, sure.
What if we got Di Maria? That would be incredibly insane.
For the prices they're quoting now, we could have got Di Maria for half that fucking price last summer.
Yeah, 60? Are they quoting 60 or 70 million now?
Whatever the fuck it is, it's.
And I think it was. There was a story today that Ronaldo and Ramos went crying to Ancelotti to not sell Di Maria like they did Ozil last season. So
and that's fair. I'd say the same thing too. Yeah. Honestly, don't do it. Yeah, dude, keep that squad as it is right now. I mean, they can sell Khedira and whatever, but you keep him. You know what I mean? Like, you keep Di Maria. If I'm them, I keep Di Maria. But, you know, because the thing is, Bale and Ronaldo can't play every game. We've seen, like, Ronaldo all of a sudden has his tendonitis shit flaring up in his knee, and Bale is good for a really good month or two out with an ankle or something, you know? Like, and you got to rotate. And he can play your attacking center mid, and he can play any of those wing positions. Like, you need that depth in your Real Madrid. So, I don't know.
It sounds really weird going from our problems, talking about depth, to talking about them and their problems at depth, it doesn't really correlate.
You can see our problem at depth in the last two matches.
Yeah.
Well, let's do a quick little roundup because I want to hear who your picks are for champions across and around Europe. Let's go with Spain. Who are your picks to win La Liga? I'm going to start with you, Alex.
My pick is Madrid.
Which Madrid?
The only Madrid.
Fuck out of here.
That was a good answer.
Real Madrid.
You're picking Real Madrid. Okay. Gus?
Same. Mm. Too much quality.
And Joseph?
Let's make it a trifecta.
A trifecta? Well, fuck. Do I got to go outside the norm? What the fuck? Who's going to do
it? You usually do. That's what we're expecting from you.
I was going to pick Madrid, but fuck it. I'll pick Barcelona.
Oh, make me throw up.
Yeah, you were never going to pick them anyway. I'll pick Barcelona just to be an outlier. It's probably going to be Madrid. It won't be Atletico, I'm sorry to say.
No, I think Messi will score a lot. That's a bold prediction.
What was that?
I think Messi will score a lot. It's a very bold prediction.
I think Suarez will score a lot, too.
So can Barca fans have, like, man, I would have taken that, or after Suarez comes back, like, if they draw a game, or they lose a game, like, man, I would have taken a draw. I would have bitten your hand off to take a draw. Do they make those kinds of jokes with Suarez?
We would.
Certainly.
We would never stop.
The whole world will be making those jokes never the stop. Entire time. So, Suarez would bite your hand off for that draw.
He'd bite his hand off for that opportunity again.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. You know, I'm just going to go out on the, I'm going to go out on the limb here. I'll say Barca to win the La Liga title. I don't feel very good about that at all, but probably Real Madrid. But we'll go there.
In Italy,
yeah,
I think Roma will get it. Roma. I think Juventus won't cope without Conte.
That'd be nice. I mean, Roma. I like Juve, but Roma's team, man, they've played some good football. That's kind of exciting. I'm excited at the prospect of that. I like that pick.
They've still kept that good players. They're going to lose Benatia to Bayern Munich, but other than Mehdi, they're keeping all the midfielders and. They're going to be fine.
Yeah, I think Juve win, so.
Without Conte? That's interesting.
Yeah, I still think they'll win.
Okay, Gus, your pick for Italy?
Juve. I have no idea about Italy. I don't pay attention to them. Sorry.
Juve, they won a few years
ago. They won last year. All right, that sounds good to me.
I'm gonna stick with Juve. I think they have enough. As long as they don't,
as long as Vidal stays.
Yeah. I mean, with their squad intact, if they're not losing Pogba, they're not losing Vidal this summer. I think.
I think Vidal might go to Bayern Munich.
Oh, if that happens, that changes shit. Then I'll switch to
Tevez. Okay. Play with them?
What was that?
Does Tevez still play with them?
Yep. They got Tevez. They got Llorente. They have.
That's right, Llorente too. Yeah,
they still have plenty of options. Yeah, they're looking good. They look pretty stacked. We'll see how they come out. I mean, but Roma look good. Don't sleep on Roma. They're going to be good. They're going to be dangerous in the Champions League this year too. So we'll see what they do. Moving on to Germany. Does anybody think that the Bayern Munich Giants will be usurped by the little yellow wall?
Nope. Yes. It's becoming France during that Lyon run that it had in League One.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to say yes. But fuck Bayern Munich, man. Like, yes. It won't happen.
So you're picking Bayern?
No, I'm picking Dortmund. Fuck it. All right.
Alex picking Dortmund. Gus?
After that whole Pep show at the MLS All-Star game, F them, but yeah, they're going to win.
Way to go on a limb there. All right, and you're going to stay with Bayern, Joseph, is that right?
Yeah. I hate Guardiola's football, and I'm glad it's in Germany.
I'll go with my team. I'll go with Dortmund. I'll go with Marco Reus to lead him to the title before he leaves.
I hope it's true. I hope it happens.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
It's a little more wishful thinking. But look, they've made some good signings. Like, Immobile is a good signing. And second season, I really think we're going to see a really good season from Aubameyang and from Mkhitaryan. So
It was one of their preseason matches. Was it last week, week before? Didn't pretty much almost all three of their recent signings scored? Ramos scored.
Ramos,
Aubameyang scored. And I think Mkhitaryan even scored in the same match.
Is Hummels the captain now?
Well, I don't know if Kale's still captain or if Hummels is
Hummels,
captain.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Sebastian Kale has been the captain for years and years, but his role's been reducing. He's not really playing as much anymore because, Bender has come in and Shaheen and all the other guys. So I think Hummels is Hummels is the new captain, I believe.
I think that's they didn't.
I think I read that. Yeah.
And so it's a great choice. It's a little too bad that he'll probably only be there another season, but
that bastard should have played for the U.S.
You think about Subotic.
Oh, Subotic. Well, whatever. Well, they used to play. Yeah, well,
that bastard too.
I'd take Hummels too. Fuck it. Come on over.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. They played on the same team. Whatever. It's Germany.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do in central defense. They've got a really good selection problem right now. Subotic coming back from the ACL injury, and they have Socrates, Papastathopoulos, whatever the fuck his last name is.
Guys, what about the French league?
Monaco.
You guys care enough?
It's PSG. I really thought Monaco could really make a run at it, but they've already lost. They haven't really signed anyone of note.
Didn't the owner pull out?
Of Monaco?
No. He just pulled out from spending huge amounts of money. Now I thought I read that.
Because of FFP. It's because of FFP. They can't do it.
Yeah.
They're trying to find loopholes.
Well, they sold James for a fuck ton, so they could buy to replace.
No, right. But it's. It counts with the other ones, all the purchases they've bought. That's how it works, basically.
Right. Well, we'll see what they do. I don't think, and there's a strong likelihood that if they lose Falcao, and if that happens, there's no fucking chance. If they still have Falcao this season, they got plenty of a chance. Was that?
What about the Turkish league?
Fenerbahce,
yeah, because,
it won't be
they're going to run away with it.
Galatasaray? They still have Schneider, right?
What about the Norwegian league?
Genk?
That's the.
Isn't that Swiss?
I don't know. I'm just guessing for some team somewhere around there. I don't fucking know.
You're supposed to know all of them, Joaquin. No.
That's it. That's as far as we're going.
We're not going any deeper.
You can do that on the
German,
extra.
The Spanish, English. Celtic are going to win the Scottish league, okay? You happy? Because they're competing against nobody. Right? Didn't Hearts go down? Isn't the fucking championship this year in Scotland you're going to be an expert now. You're going to be my Scotland correspondent now, Alex, since you're going to be in fucking Edinburgh.
Fucking hell, I'm going to have to go to games.
Are you really?
You will, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
So, yeah, it's going to be...
Scotland is the most depressing country in the world. People are more depressed in Scotland than anywhere else in the world.
Way to talk up your new home, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I would think things would be worse up where you're at, where you don't see the sun too much.
But they have the top quality of life in the world. You know,
yeah, we have the best. Money rules over sun. We can buy the sun.
You can buy the
of countries.
I make clouds, I make sun. Doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
That'll be it. Well, let's get back to a little bit of the action at the weekend. So we have an interesting position where we're at. We got to face Arsenal to face Everton on Saturday. We're going to need a little bit of squad rotation. It's going to be interesting to see what we do in this match because, really, you cannot play this match without having an eye on the Champions League match, which is now so delicately hung in the balance, even though Alex believes it's already done and dusted. You got to keep one eye on that match, and we have a couple squad things we got to iron out because Arteta is out with a sprained ankle for a couple weeks. We've got Ramsey, who will obviously start the weekend now because he can't play in the next match. So I think we have to see a little bit of rotation. I don't know who gets a rest on Saturday. I mean, I think there's a case to be made.
I think you got to sit Jack and Santi. Those two just killed us the last two matches.
The Ox has to play.
I think the Ox has to get a start.
Maybe Rzycki too.
Might be nice to see Rzycki. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that would be. That's a good shout too.
I mean, if you sit Santi and you put Ox on the left wing, so you have Ox and Sanchez. And you bring in Santi maybe to the midfield. Well, how are we going to do that? We're going to do Santi.
We're away.
So you're going to do.
Playing for a draw.
But you're going to do Rzycki, Ramsey, and Flamini in the midfield. Is that what you guys would think?
Yeah.
Ozil might be on the bench.
Yeah. Ozil on the bench, and then you start him in the Champions League match on Tuesday. I think that's the move there.
Or do you start him and only give him 45 minutes?
No.
No? All right.
No. Yeah.
You let the game happen first, I think, and then you ease him into it.
I think so. The interesting thing is, so obviously, since Arsene has spoken at length about the idea of Oxlade-Chamberlain as a central midfielder, does he come into the midfield for Wilshere?
Not in that game.
No, maybe not against Everton. He's going to play a wing for sure.
Okay, I'm just intrigued because it is a possibility. We've seen Arsene.
It would have been nice to do that on Tuesday. It would have been nice to see that on Tuesday instead of Jack, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, hindsight.
But honestly, the thing about Chamberlain that people don't really see is that he's an action player. Like, he will make runs and then use his energy really, really quickly, okay? So it means that for a lot of part of the game, he'll just not do that much, you know?
Right.
And that's why Wenger uses him as a sub right now, because he needs to learn how to maintain his energy throughout the game.
Well, and he's given us a spark off the bench that, you know, what Theo used to do for us.
Yeah, and I do like that he tracks back. Well, okay, so I know I always talk about this, but I like forwards that can track back and cover their ground and make up, like, if they give the ball away, they're going to go straight back hustling and make sure to win that ball back. And he offers that, and Santi doesn't offer that. Podolski doesn't offer that. I think that's something that gets overlooked on the left-hand side.
I think if going into this match, I think what my dream scenario, if I could draw it up, would be you play Oxlade-Chamberlain on the left wing. Bring in Rzycki through the midfield. I think that's a great decision. You play Rzycki, Ramsey, and Flamini in midfield. You bring in Ox on the left. You've got Sanchez right and Giroud up top if he's fit enough or whatever the fuck it is. You give Ox, you know, 50, 60 minutes if he's ineffective, depending on what the scoreline is. I give Joel Campbell 30 minutes on the left wing after. You know, you do something like that. And we have the Germans on the bench. I mean, I think Podolski can be fit for the bench now, right? I mean, he should be, because no one's even mentioning Podolski on the left wing. I mean, we could even start Podolski on the left wing. That wouldn't be the craziest thing.
He's not even fit during the middle of the season. You think he's going to be fit now to play?
Hey, he didn't play too much of the World Cup, so you think he's
I said right. rested. I didn't say fit. I said rested.
All right. Well, look. Either way, so you start Ox on the left, and then you give whichever one is staying with us this season. Fucking Podolski or Campbell, 30 minutes on the left. Whichever one comes in on Saturday is the one who stays with Arsenal this season, okay?
And so here's another thing, too. I think I would play Alexis on the left and the Ox on the right because we know Leighton Baines hates defending. So just why not send the Ox right up
Leighton Baines' ass? That's a good idea.
But Sanchez is just as tenacious, man. Sanchez is a nightmare on the wing.
Yeah, I know, but he's not used to the league. That's the only reason why that I'd give the nod to the Ox before Sanchez.
So you put Sanchez against Coleman on the right? Like, I don't know.
Well, he's gonna. Well, like you said, he's a player. He's gonna make his own space. But I think the Ox knows how to play within the right hand side a little bit more.
But the Ox knows he's got to play on the left side.
I'd be more excited to be Sanchez going after Baines all day because I agree that he's gonna slip up here and there.
I think you just let them interchange. You let the two of them kind of float back and forth. You know, you do like 30 minutes, and then Arsene gives them a little whistle.
But that's the thing with having Giroud and Sanchez is that they can always interchange their positioning.
Well, I'm not even talking Giroud. I mean, I'm saying leaving Giroud focally, but switching the wings. You can have those wings interchange. Because in terms of Theo has not really played much on the left-hand side. Not at all, really, for us. Mm-hmm. Oxlade-Chamberlain is versatile enough to play on both sides and has done it, and we know Sanchez can play on both sides. I mean, that kind of attack for us, I think, is where we're going to be really good because we're going to see how matchups work out. And 20, 30 minutes into the match, if it's not really coming off, okay, fuck it, switch. Let's see how Coleman likes to deal with Sanchez, you know? Sanchez cutting in. And now Baines has got to deal with fucking Oxlade-Chamberlain running at him. I think it's a great problem to have, and having that pace on both sides is going to be really, really
I'm going for a 4-1 to Arsenal.
Bold.
And see, no, I do like your idea too, Joaquin, about maybe having them switch up because then it keeps both of the fullbacks on their tiptoes and they don't know what's going to come at them.
Right. No, I mean, I think it's a good idea, and I think with having those two options on the pitch is something really electric. They can really do a lot, and then we will have a lot of options on the bench because if Podolski's on the bench, we're going to have Podolski there. You're going to have Cazorla probably still on the bench. You still have Joel Campbell, right?
How long is Sanogo out for?
Who cares?
I'm sorry, find so passport.
Offhand about it. I mean, I don't know. I like Sanogo, but he needs to go play somewhere else before he plays for Arsenal.
But he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Unless we sign somebody.
He's not going anywhere.
Unless we sign somebody.
But we're not.
And that's why we're not. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I still think we sign someone, and I think it's Podolski that goes, not him.
Maybe.
I think too.
Maybe. But, I mean, Sanogo doesn't have to leave, like I said, alone. He needs to play week in, week out. That's what he fucking needs, and that might be a championship team. You know, I don't know where he's going to get starts in the Premier League, other than apparently Arsenal.
Didn't Wenger say something about him staying and...
Yes, he's staying.
Look, I now expect Sanogo to stay until January. He will play the fucking cup games. If we're in the fucking Capital One Cup come the new year, he might stick around for a little longer. If we're out of that shit, then you know he could get a second half of the season loan. You know, a lot of times we hold on to these guys through the fall because one, we want them to train with the squad and get more integrated, and you know, the amount these players can learn from playing with our players makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
So even if that's only just half a season, he likes to Arsene has not been very quick to jump the gun on loaning a player out for the entire season, except for the work permit issues and, for some reason, last year, Joel Campbell. But he wants to keep them in the squad and integrated, give them cup matches, and then when that's no longer the case in January, give them a few months out on loan and let them come back. So
the reason Joel Campbell is because he didn't think he was good enough. That's the reason
why. You're right. He did, yes.
And here's another thing, too. Look at last year when Giroud and Sanogo up top played together up top. Holy shit, they like the team went into a different formation and brought something new that other teams hadn't seen before from us.
Well, yeah, we hit him with a battering ram.
Yeah, wouldn't it be awesome to see Giroud and Alexis go up top, up front, and then have the Ox and Theo up on the wings also?
Kind of, but then what are you going to do?
If our midfield could deal with that.
We don't have Vieira anymore.
Well, exactly.
So we have to send
we need a different midfielder because Ozil's going to be there.
Right. It's tough to say. You're going to put only Ozil and Ramsey in the middle because those are the two guys you can't drop right there. And
I'm just throwing things up just to change shit up.
Yeah.
If that would happen, we'll play Ozil left and then Theo right.
There you go. Yeah, Sanchez, that would work.
And then Ramsey Flamini or Ramsey Arteta or Ramsey Nudiem. But that's the idea.
Yeah.
Interesting.
My prediction's 4-1. What is your prediction, guys?
I'm going to go 2-1 to the Arsenal. Gus?
I will go 3-2 Arsenal.
And Joseph?
2-2 draw.
I knew you were going to draw. I knew it.
We're going to play because I think it's going to be a draw.
No, that's fair. And let's just
get a quick. That is fair.
Just a quick answer, whether we'll progress or not. I don't need a fucking score prediction for the Champions League. Will we progress in the Champions League to the group stages? I'll go with you, Alex. Obviously, yes. All right, fuck him. He's done. Gus, are we going to make it?
I'm with Alex.
Good. And Joseph?
Do you want me to go?
Give me that nasty feeling you have in the gut, whatever the fuck it is. Come on, you have to think we're going to progress.
We're going to go out on a 1-1 draw and lose on away goals.
Oh. Dude, you're never invited back ever again.
This is what you get for putting me second. This is what it is. This is what happens.
This is what it is.
You back someone in the corner and they come out fighting. That's what I'm just saying.
This is like what we were at with Udinese a couple seasons ago, weren't we? We drew the first game and then we had to come on and then Walcott put us through.
Yeah, he's not available though.
I think we'll get a very nervy
same position.
It'll be a very nervy 2-0. Like we'll get the one goal and then there's gonna be all these.
We'll brick ourselves for 70 minutes. Pants,
and then in like the 85th minute when they're putting everything out, we'll get a goal on the break.
Oh, guys, at home we're really, really good at home, you know. And it's Besiktas.
I know, and the pitch is gonna make all the difference there.
Yeah, whenever you go to Turkey, it's always hostile, it's always an atmosphere that's very difficult for the players to adapt to.
It didn't bother us last year.
It'd be great to get this thing done in the first half.
Our squad was fitter last year.
And yes, they were.
True. And we had Theo.
These games kind of feel like friendlies to me. Just because we've been playing them for so long. We've been playing these play-in games for so long and
we're still in preseason form.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, I think we'll have enough to get it done. It's not going to be pretty, but, I mean, hopefully we can come out. We come out then and hit them with that, you know, give them that knockout punch in the first half. A good for two goals the first 30 minutes would have us sitting really pretty and then just kind of be in a nice position to run this game out and really just tack on another one.
Play with the handbrake.
It'd be lovely to see if we can do that. I think Arsenal have enough to get the job done against fucking Besiktas.
We should.
Yeah. We should. We could.
But I've had a bad feeling for a while, so
God bless.
Well, I think I think we're in.
There we go, the dream killer.
Anyways, I think Yeah.
Do you remember in May when we talked about who we hope to stand out this year? When we talk about Chamberlain and Wilshere?
Yeah.
Like, I think Bellerin, he's up there, man. The stuff I've seen from him, I mean, Chambers now as well, but as a second right back, I'm so excited to have him in the squad right now.
Yeah, really, we don't think we should see too much from outside. I mean, it'd be great if he gets the starts in the Capital One Cup and you have Chambers starting at, you know, center back and have Bellerin out wide. That'd be nice. It'd be nice, but I mean, I don't know if he's going to have enough, you know, we crossing our fingers, you know, there aren't too many Debuchy injuries and we can kind of have a pretty stable back line. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know. Like, I like the look of Bellerin. I like, he's got a good name too. Mi tocayo Héctor. But,
who do you guys have as your player of the season?
For Arsenal?
Yeah.
It's got to be Ramsey.
It'll be Theo.
Wankfest over there.
Yeah, Lovebird.
Whatever, I'll be fucking right, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I think my Rambo pick's a little safer at the moment.
Yeah, I got Rambo, too.
I think Ramsey's our best player now, hands down.
Yeah.
As great as Ozil is, he doesn't have that same like impact on a match. Like, Ramsey is what Fabregas used to be for us. He's the heartbeat. He's the guy who drives us forward. He drags us across the line. He scores the game-winning goals. He wins the fucking cup finals.
Who was the guy that said that Ramsey has the qualities of Ozil and Fabregas and Gerrard and Vieira all in one?
I think that's a bit bold.
To give a cliche, he's the man. Ramsey is the man.
He is the man. He's the man who's going to get us, drag us across the line. And if we win a title, it's going to be because of guys like Aaron Ramsey dragging us across. Because
Theo's going to score 20 this year.
I certainly hope so. I
hope so. Yeah.
I mean, that's just I'm praying he's fit. I guarantee that Theo will score a very good amount of goals, like in ratio to the games he plays. But I don't know how many matches he's going to have because I'm praying he's fucking fit. But
he'll be fit.
Yeah, I mean it's almost as safe as saying fucking Diaby is going to be fit. So.
No, it's nowhere near that.
Oh, you're right. Okay, nowhere near, just quiet, but it's, you know.
Can always count on a good 5 weeks.
I mean, is he going to miss more than two? Is he going to miss less than 2 months of the season? Can we really say that? He's already going to miss the first month of the season. Is he really?
He's going to miss the first 2 weeks. Yeah, he'll be back. Weeks? He'll be back in first team training on the 31st.
Okay.
Or the first.
So he'll play for us mid September, maybe at first.
Yes. So you're talking a month.
He misses a month. So are you saying he's going to miss less than 2 months? Because that's bold. You're saying he's not going to have more than a four-week injury at any point or more than two-week injuries, which he's good at getting.
He'll still score 23.
Okay. Guys.
He'll score double digits.
Guys.
What?
What's his
before we say goodbye, last season we in chances created, we were seventh place. And in the top score margin in the Premier League. Out of all of them there, that in the top 10, we only had Giroud. The rest were, Man City had four players that were part of the top 10. Okay. If we want to win the league, we need that in our team.
Yeah, of course.
I want 20 goals or 17 from Giroud. I want 20 from Walcott and 20 from Sanchez. That's what I want. Maybe another 15, 20 from Ramsey too, you know.
Yeah, I think Ramsey's fit. He gets 20 goals this season across
right.
the competitions.
We want this from our squad. Okay.
Of course.
We don't want it to be on one guy ever. You know, I would never want it to be just on Cavani or just on Falcao. I want the whole team to chip in.
Well, and that's we've seen a lot of goals come across the pitch. I mean, it's become much more balanced in the past couple seasons, and last year was a good testament to them. We had a lot of – I mean, how many – we had, what, five goal scorers in double digits, right? Four or five?
That was the year before.
No, but last year we did too, right? Wasn't there Santi – Santi
was double digits?
Santi, Theo, Podolski hit double digits, right?
Yeah, Podolski.
No, that wasn't last year. That was the year before.
Well, all right, we'll look at the fucking stats for last year. We did it pretty well last year too. We had good contributions.
No, we didn't. We had so many
injuries.
Not at the top.
Theo had more than 10. Giroud had 20 something. Fucking Ramsey had mid teens. We had a good contribution across the board. Santi had a good amount of. If he had 8 or something, you know, like it's been a pretty good contribution across the board for the past two seasons.
Right, and but that's
something that needs to continue.
I want the injuries to stop mainly. But the point is...
Well, fucking wishing one hand shit in the other.
Pray to Shad.
Shad. No wonder he's fucking American with such a shitty name.
Well, it's from the Northwest, so what do you expect? Northwest.
Hey, at least the Americans have to go up and clean the British's shit up again, right?
I guess so. I guess so.
I know, it's a bad
So, give me your pick. Did you guys have any other picks as to who's going to be our best player? Obviously, we had who's your pick, Gus? Because I know
Rambo.
Okay, so we got two Rambos. One. What was yours, Alex? Who's going to be our best player?
I mean, I'm saying Giroud, but I don't mean it like that. I mean like he'll have a better season this year. Our best player is going to be Ramsey.
So what do you really mean? Okay, so you mean Ramsey?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's three.
But I'm still expecting Ozil to shine.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, me too.
Like yeah, and hopefully Sanchez can get on the. I just want Sanchez to adapt as fast as possible because we know what he can do. So.
Yeah. No, he's going to be good. Premier League player of the season. Quick pick, you guys. Who's going to be the best? Who's going to win Premier League player of the season? Joseph, you don't want to say who it is? Who's your pick?
If you say Fabregas, I will cut you.
Who is it, Joseph?
Fabregas.
Yaya Toure?
Oh, fucking Fabregas. Like.
Okay. Gus?
Yeah, he was my favorite player before he went to Chelsea, but I'm still going to say Fabregas. He's so sick.
You guys don't know this new Fabregas, this old, sad Fabregas. You don't know him.
So who's your? So shut the fuck up and give me your pick.
I told you, Ramsey.
Ramsey to be the Premier League player of the season.
Yes.
I guess since we already had a couple people pick Fabregas, I'll have to go a different direction.
You were going to pick that, though, weren't you?
Why don't we just name this podcast?
I'm going to go with Kun Agüero. El Kun Agüero is going to be fit, and he will be the Premier League player of the season.
Yeah. So. It's funny that we'd go, we probably all settle for that. We'd probably go, well, that probably means they win the league. That's fine.
That's okay. It's not the other fuckers. Yeah. I'll go with Kun.
Seriously, the headline of this podcast has to be, we all agree.
Shit. Okay. Well, we're gonna leave it there, guys. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Red Card District on the Pintcast, the new home for it. And we will have to do this again next week. All the best of luck to Arsenal in their trials and tribulations. Hopefully next we'll be talking about successful qualification to the Champions League and another win against Everton. So we'll leave it there. You can follow these fine fellows on Twitter. You can follow Alex at @the_Beck_.
I wouldn't.
Or don't. He just a lot of narcissistic tweets about how fucking fantastic he is and a bunch of bullshit. And then he starts waxing about politics and you want to mute him or block him, whatever. So at your own peril. We got one more pick for the MVP of the season. We have Brian Gunner Faithful saying that Diego Costa is going to be the player.
No
of the
way. No way.
Interesting choice. Interesting choice, Brian. We'll see. We'll see.
The ugly Eduardo.
The ugly Eduardo. It's Eduardo's bastard brother. You know what I mean? It's like the guy that walks
like
out.
Like Wario. Right? He's like Wario.
He is. He walks
his
out in like
uncle. His bastard uncle.
Yeah.
He's younger Wario. Than me. No, it's the bastard brother. You know, like the parents are divorced and he comes walking out of the jungle like in fucking, I don't know, torn overalls, covered in oil and shit. I don't fucking know. I can see it all playing out like a Machete movie or something. Like, I don't really know how it works out.
I'm here to finish it off.
Something like that. So we'll leave it there. Until next week, guys, it's been a pleasure as always. And you can follow the rest of these guys on Twitter, Gus at GusContreras21 and Joseph at I Hate Your Club. So we'll leave it there.
Bring the hate.
Yeah, bring the hate. We'll leave it there, and we'll catch up next week. All right. Thanks, guys.